As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Well, happy Monday. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for tuning in to 97.1 FM Talk. We're glad you're here. Another crazy, crazy news weekend. And yes, another attempt on Donald Trump's life. You kind of have to wonder how many of these that we're going to have to see happen before maybe President Trump gets the security he needs. This is the only question you have to ask yourself. The security he needs so that his life is secure. What question is there around that? Now, I remember, and I think it's very important to think back on the times that we have seen even members of Congress calling for President Trump to lose his Secret Service protection because they got that convicted felon name for them, which we find out in the legal system. He's not a convicted felon until he's actually sentenced, which he hasn't been, has been postponed to the other side of the election. So he is not technically a convicted felon. It depends on what channel you watch. But if you were watching certain channels, that would be fact checked. If you're watching others, of course, it wouldn't be. People had called for him to lose his Secret Service protection after he was found guilty in the Alvin Bragg sham trial in Manhattan. This is the world that we live in right now. We hear people, after yesterday's shooting attempt, reacting to what happened and doing it a little bit like ABC, this is going to come as a shock to you, ABC fans, and John Carl says this while he is covering in the wake of this attempt.
I also spoke just recently, Lindsay, with a former member of the president's Secret Service detail, former president's detail, when he was in the president, when he was in the White House, who described how difficult it is to secure the area when he is playing golf, particularly at that golf course, the golf course that he usually plays when he is at Mar-a-Lago. This former agent told me that if the Secret Service had not spotted the muzzle of that gun sticking through through the fence, that he would have had potentially an unfettered shot of less than 100 yards away, and that this very well could have been a successful assassination.
Wow. All right, Jonathan, Carl, our thanks to you. Now to the race for the White House. Ohio's Republican governor is calling for an end to debunked claims that Haitian immigrants in the town of Springfield are eating pets belonging to residents. But Senator J.D. Vance and the Trump campaign are doubling down on those claims. Here's ABC's Perry Russum.
Tonight, growing fear in Springfield, Ohio. A small university, they're canceling all events today after an email targeting Haitians in the community threatened a potential shooting on campus, the school says. The FBI now investigating.
So there you have this ABC report. And you listen to John Carl and the way he's talking about this incident. And you got to ask yourself, at the end of every crisis that happens, if the never let a good crisis go to waste moniker is still in place for the Democrat Party. MSNBC and Alex Witt.
Do you expect to hear anything from the Trump campaign about toning down the rhetoric, toning down the violence, or would that be atypical of the former president?
Well, Alex, remember back to the assassination attempt on President Trump's life and how, you know, there was talk of a new tone. And then the Republican convention was, by Trumpian standards, muted. And it did seem like he was, you know, just trying to take it down a few notches. But then by the end of his convention speech, you know, we were kind of back to where we started. So I don't know how long this could, like, you know, this moment of unity for the country where we come together and we say, I don't want any political opposition to be under threat of violence. It's not okay, any threat of violence, you know, we don't want. I would love for us to have a unity type moment, but I think it's probably going to be pretty fleeting, as we've seen in the past.
The unity in this, unity moment, Donald Trump's life has had two attempts on it. And Donald Trump is to blame? Folks, this is not any different than the abhorrent reaction to somebody who's been raped saying she asked for it. It's the same thing. It's disgusting then. It's disgusting now. These news people who have the stones to go on air and say, you know what, maybe if the Trump campaign and Donald Trump himself would have calmed down the rhetoric post-RNC convention, this wouldn't be happening. That's like saying maybe if her skirt wasn't too short, it wouldn't have happened to her. It's the same thing. I don't have a doubt in my mind that these people want him dead. That is a terrifying existence to live in, that the opposition to Donald Trump, and listen, those people on MSNBC and ABC, they're not the ones holding the weapon and pointing it at Donald Trump, but they are excusing the action because they're saying that Donald Trump asked for it. They're saying that Donald Trump's behavior led to it. If you've got a female who goes into a bar and she's not wearing a whole lot of clothes and she has too much to drink and she doesn't really remember what happened and somebody takes advantage of her in that situation, is it her fault or not? No person ever has the circumstances where they put themselves into a position where they deserve what happened to them. Nobody deserves to be mistreated that way. Nobody deserves to be at the end of a rifle that's pointed at them out of hatred and disgust. Nobody deserves that. Full stop. This is not a complicated question. This isn't a difficult situation to rationalize in a complicated, vitriolic campaign season. This is the easy one. Donald Trump's life is valuable and worthy of protection simply because he is human. And when you listen to the media reaction with the exact same moniker of he asked for it, You got to start asking yourselves a lot of questions about the not so free press that we have in this country, because it really feels like they're bought and paid for, completely all in on the idea that we only allow one party to have power and we do everything we can in the process to make sure that it stays that way. I mean, in the sense of they need him dead. That makes me feel that he's doing a lot better than the polls even suggest, because if he were going to lose the election, let's say he had the numbers and the polling internally and what we've seen outside of those, or the external polls, the ones that become public fodder for newsers like me and the people you see on television. Let's just say for a second that the roles were reversed. Would they be so aggressive to try to take him out of the race in any means possible at this point? They tried to do it through the legal system. They're still trying to do it for the legal system, and it is amazing how much the runway is being cleared for Donald Trump to still win this election among every single obstacle that they're throwing in front of him. I mean, it's like an Austin Powers skit where you got to get Austin Powers from point A to point B, and all of the different things that they're starting to put in front of him, the things they're willing to attempt to try to keep him from becoming the president of the United States, are ludicrous. But they're not going to stop. We are very close to this election. We are 50 days from the election. Voting is open in states across this country in certain places. I don't know what Donald Trump does. I don't know what Melania and Barron and Eric and Don Jr. and Ivanka and the rest of their family. I don't know what they do for the next 50 days while this election is going on. And I don't know what happens to him should he win the election. How is he safe? How is it not explicitly clear from everybody who has access to a microphone or a camera? And guess what? That's literally anybody who has a phone. How are people not calling for this violence to stop without exception, excuse, caveat, fine print? Make it stop. This man's life is to be protected. How is this confusing? How much do you hate somebody? I mean, think about this. Look inward today and ask yourself, if you're the person out there who hates Donald Trump and you want nothing more than to see him go down in November at the ballot box, do you separate that from the cognitive processing of the benefit that would come should his life be ended? Look at where we are as a society. Shame on all of us for getting to this point. This is not the hard question to answer. This is not a hard thing to come out and say. It would not be difficult at all for me to come onto this show and say the exact same thing about Kamala Harris if she were now facing two attempts on her life because people don't want her to find herself in the presidency. That's an easy one. God forbid that anybody have to live the understanding that their life is being threatened every minute that they are alive. And then to turn on the television and see these reprobates pushing out this idea that essentially, let me just quote it this way. It's like, well, that's the mentality that they have. I don't care if you're going to vote for him. I don't care if you're not going to vote for him. If we're not shaking our fists at the sky, this is the reality that we live in, we have gotten it completely wrong. Donald Trump's life is valuable and is to be protected. Period. Full stop. Nothing more to add. Is it so hard to disagree with that or to agree with that, to know how to react to that? It's probably one of the most unifying opportunities that we have in this election cycle, that everybody of every political stripe should be making that statement boldly to everybody who follows them, to every influence and influential corner that they have right now in politics, in life, in society, in culture, to say Donald Trump's life is valuable and is worthy of full protection. Can you say that? If you can, maybe we should together. We're going to speak with Robert Law. He is the director of the Center for Homeland Security and Immigration at the America First Policy Institute. We're going to talk to him about what is happening right now in the Secret Service protection of Donald Trump. I mean, if we've had two attempts on Donald Trump's life, how many have they thwarted? Have they thwarted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them? And these are the two that crept through. And if you're in the Secret Service, is that too many? I sure as heck hope so. We'll get an expert on here when we come back. And the YouTube poll for today, which I would love for you to weigh in on. I'm just curious where our audience is on this. And I don't really know where I am on this. I just have a lot of questions and very few places to seem to get reliable answers. Do you believe that the Secret Service is compromised? Yes or no? Annie Fry YouTube channel in the live chat portion of today's live broadcast. Rob Law on the Annie Fry Show when we come back.
Thank God the president's okay. I think we got a full report so far. We're down there tonight. But one thing I want to make clear, the service needs more help. And I think the Congress should respond to their needs if they, in fact, need more services. So that's what we're going to be talking about.
Are you concerned they need more personnel? They need more money? What kind of help do you say?
I think we need some more personnel. I think they're deciding whether they need more personnel or not.
Are you concerned about more personnel?
So the president of the United States speaking next to a helicopter on an attempt on Donald Trump's life number two. Maybe could have done that one from the Resolute desk and say, knock it off. And he's talking about, you know, maybe the Secret Service may need more help. He's creating jobs. This is the political spin that's going to come out of this one. I'm just a little bit irate over this weekend the way a lot of the media have handled this, trying to victim blame the man whose life is on the other end of a rifle for the second time in this election season. I think we should be taking this a little more seriously. Our YouTube live chat poll is, do you believe that the Secret Service is compromised? I've gotten a lot of messages about this. I don't know if they are. I don't know what the problem is, but it's amazing that this has been able to happen two times in the last few months. We want to get an expert opinion on this, so we bring Robert Law onto the show. We're grateful to have him, the director of the Center for Homeland Security and Immigration at America First Policy Institute. He's also the former chief of policy at U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services within the Department of Homeland Security for the Trump administration. Mr. Law, thank you for being here with us today. It's great to have you on to talk about this second terrible incident that our country is experiencing.
Well, thanks for having me. And you're right. It's unbelievable that we're even talking about a second attempt here. Just it's such short order after the first attempt on President Trump's life.
I want to give you the opportunity to talk a little bit about the Secret Service. I mean, by definition, the Secret Service, we don't know a lot about them. We just kind of think that they're BA, that they keep the most powerful people in the country safe. We don't get to know about their methods because if we know about them, everybody knows about them. But it doesn't seem like we should be able to have two incidences like this within this amount of time. And everything feels like it's on the up and up. What do you want the American people to know about the protection being offered to Donald Trump right now?
Well, I think without stating the obvious, that the current protection level for President Trump is insufficient. And that's the whole thing about Donald Trump, is he is a unique individual in our political history. And for him to be not only a former president, but the current nominee of the, you know, out of power party, warrants special treatment, and he has not received it for this entire time since he left office, and it has created, you know, these vulnerabilities and gaps, and it's, frankly, it's unacceptable. It should not be surprising that someone like Donald Trump, who is still in the public eye, who thrives in an environment of crowds and being with the American people, that those are difficult circumstances to secure, but knowing that, you need to put forward the resources in order to ensure his safety. And that has failed to happen time and time again.
We're speaking with Rob Law right now with the America First Policy Institute. I have more, way more questions than I have answers. One of the things that is really causing me to ask a lot of questions, and I'm just going to read this report from Fox News suspect Ryan Wesley Routh came out on Trump International Golf Course, West Palm Beach, for nearly 12 hours. He was camped out there in his alleged attempt to assassinate Trump. According to his phone records, the charging document released by the federal authorities said that it details much of the police action taken after he fled the scene. A witness said they saw him run out of a tree line and into a black Nissan, but they noticed that the records indicate that his mobile phone was located in the vicinity of the area along the tree line from approximately 1:59 a.m. that morning before until 1:31 when they started to pursue him. How would he possibly know to be out there in that location when it wasn't really public knowledge that the president would be golfing there that day?
Well, that's certainly a question that we need answers to, and there needs to be a serious investigation, and there certainly needs to be more transparency this time around, because we still have no answers or clarity about all of the failures that led to the first assassination attempt in Pennsylvania. But this, again, goes to the perimeter level of protection that is being afforded President Trump right now. That golf course would have been included in a perimeter of being locked down well in advance of his golf outing if he was treated as the president of the United States. And so because they are refusing to expand that and just treating him like any former official who gets Secret Service protection, you created what should have been an obvious vulnerability. That is clearly a spot that a would-be assassin could take advantage of. And apparently the terrain is such that, you know, he could remain unidentified for half a day, essentially. Again, this goes to you have your standards, and then you've got to recognize the reality. Sometimes you're starting to wonder, is this a politically driven decision by the Biden-Harris administration's DHS to not honor requests from the Trump team? What is going on here? Because this should have been covered. He should have been identified, you know, within minutes of crossing into that golf course property. But people aren't looking in the places that they should be.
Yeah, it's disturbing, because we have, as Americans, probably completely based in ignorance, this feeling that we're safe, that we're secure, that, you know, of course we have the best military in the world, and we know what we're doing and we can stop things. You know, I just have in my mind this idea that the technology and the skill set that our people have, the knowledge, the intelligence that we have, is so far advanced from what I could ever know or, you know, see in a movie or anything like that, that we have all of these things in place. And then something like this happens twice. I remember what it was like on September 11th. I was 17 years old, and I remember thinking to myself, like, how is this even possible? And now we know that we have an influx of people who have come to the United States. They've been let into the country. The world is on fire right now. We know that Iran wants Donald Trump dead. Like, I don't even know which way to point first to think about what threat is biggest facing our leaders, our potential leaders, and yeah, even myself and my four kids.
Well, you're right. It certainly is a dire moment, but I think you can't discount placing some degree of blame on the Biden-Harris administration. If you think of the rhetoric that they have used towards Donald Trump and calling him a threat to democracy, and how they've weaponized government to go after him with all these lawsuits and everything else, I mean, they've basically vilified the man. And of course, that's going to inspire the outrage of folks who, you know, are maybe they're a little deranged or they've got bad intentions. And I think that's exactly what has occurred with both of these assassination attempts, is you have a media apparatus and the current political regime who despises Donald Trump. And so they should take some accountability on this. They're the ones that should be toning down the rhetoric, not asking the Trump campaign to adjust itself in how it's making its case to the American people. You know, and I would just say that overall, the Secret Service are some of the best, most elite service members that we do have. Unfortunately, it seems that their training and guidance has gone completely downhill in recent years. And that, I think, corresponds with a push by the Biden-Harris administration to prioritize DEI stuff instead of merit and skills, and most importantly, accountability when you drop the ball.
Rob Law speaking with us right now, the director of the Center for Homeland Security and Immigration at America First Policy Institute. I've kind of been, unfortunately, having to learn a little bit more about the structure of the Secret Service and who it works under and some of the structure, the systematic ways that the Secret Service is implemented in our country. I hear this all of the time, and I'm wondering if you can comment to this from people listening right now. They're commenting on our conversation, and they're saying Donald Trump needs to hire his own private security. And, you know, is that a possibility? Can private security work in conjunction with Secret Service, which is supposed to be the tops of all security that is out there? I mean, is that a realistic suggestion or possibility for Donald Trump?
I mean, it's certainly interesting to consider. What my concern would be is that then you sort of start having, you know, cross-wired communications, because every time the president goes somewhere, you know, it's not only the Secret Service detail, but there is coordination, or supposed to be coordination, with state and local law enforcement. And we already saw failures in that respect in Pennsylvania. And so I think you would kind of run into maybe some logistical complications if you were to then insert a third element of protection. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, I think the safest thing and what should be the obvious thing and should have already happened is that President Trump deserves to be treated like he is the president of the United States when it comes to his Secret Service protection. So that is an increase in personnel. That is an increase in the security perimeter for anything that he does. And that includes locking down places well in advance of his arrival, whether or not these are announced visits or those kind of famous spur of the moment ones that he's known for doing as well. And if they treated him accordingly, this will certainly never happen again. I'm pretty confident about that.
Rob, one last question for you, and you've kind of alluded to this a little bit, but a little thought experiment. If in 2020, Joe Biden would have had multiple attempts on his life, and Donald Trump was the president of the United States, and this would have been something that would have been flipped over to the other side. The threat would have been on the left, and the person who wasn't in power, who was trying to get back into, as the former vice president, to get into the Oval Office. How do you think that our country would have reacted? How do you think that our media would have reacted in the event that Donald Trump was the president and the current Secret Service had let two attempts on the opponent's life happen the way they have?
Oh, no doubt about it. There would be absolute outrage, and there would be, you know, all sorts of media coverage about, you know, there'd be a clock running of it's been X number of minutes, you know, since that failed assassination attempt. And yet, you know, President Trump hasn't authorized additional Secret Service protection, hasn't done this. That's what the story would be. That's what the narrative would be. And yet it seems that the Biden-Harris administration and DHS Secretary Mayorkas seem to be absolved from any form of responsibility, even though they're the ones that are in charge. They have all of the authority they need to give President Trump the protection that he clearly needs. And don't forget, they also denied RFK his Secret Service detail for the longest time. That was pretty much an anomaly in American modern politics, to deny Secret Service protection to a serious presidential candidate. And so when you start politicizing something like the Secret Service, you really expose very important people like President Trump to a would-be assassin attempt.
Rob Law, thank you for your time today. I mean, our question to our audience today is, do you believe that the Secret Service is compromised? I certainly don't want to believe that. But I guess everything is on the table. I don't know if you want to respond to that or not, but we are grateful that you came here with us today.
Well, thanks for having me. Like I said, we just need a lot of transparency, and we certainly cannot have this happen again. There's a way to ensure that doesn't happen, and it's just a matter of time if the Biden-Harris administration will honor that and treat President Trump with the safety that he deserves.
Yeah, I completely agree. Rob Law, thank you for your time today. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. He's the director of the Center for Homeland Security and Immigration at America First Policy Institute. He was also the former chief of policy at the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services within the Department of Homeland Security under the Trump administration. Interesting to get his perspective there. We're going to keep you updated throughout the day. There's going to be a lot of news reports and conferences that take place in various measures you've got local police, you've got the FBI, you've got the Secret Service, you've got federal, you've got state and Ron DeSantis, who says he's going to run his own investigation on all of this. And to Rob Law's point there, we need information. We need willful, open, and honest transparency. Will we get it? The less we do, the more my eyebrow gets raised. How about yours? YouTube live chat poll for today. Do you believe that the Secret Service is compromised? Yes or no? Go vote on the Annie Fry YouTube channel and leave us your comments as to why you are a yes or a no. Let's see here. Katie said yes, just like the last attempt. No denying now. Larry says yes. At the top it is. Bob says, I voted yes. I think they are compromised in their vetting and training of agents. Erica says, I don't think the Secret Service is compromised. They are not giving Trump adequate protection and are providing him with the C or D team. Plus, there is a bumper crop of crazies out there. That, Erica, that last point, spot on. And every comment that comes out and is pushing for Donald Trump to be stopped at all costs, boy, does that stir up the crazies. Great point, Erica. Wiggins America, we come back.
On YouTube and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being with us here today. We are watching as news will potentially come throughout the course of the day on the second attempt on Donald Trump's life while he was golfing at his golf course this weekend. When news happens, we'll have it for you. Somebody said there was a press conference coming up.
Yeah, Fox is running the Chiron saying that the Secret Service is supposed to speak soon. They didn't give me a time or anything like that.
Is that different than the 4 p.m. Eastern one?
I can't confirm or deny that.
Like, okay. Well, let's check in on details on that. Okay. So we know what we will come in with. If there is a press conference, we will cover it for you here. I know that there's one scheduled that they've been talking about throughout the morning that's going to be at 4 p.m. Eastern, which will be 3 p.m. So that'll be on the Reardon Show. But we'll get back to you on that. It's Ryan Wiggins' birthday and he's in there, so we're kind of moderately celebrating it.
Yeah, I would say you guys are celebrating it just fine. Appreciate all the presents and you mentioning it just now. You know, I feel like the attention is
Wiggins.
Welcome back to the show. Go ahead. It's your segment.
Thank you very much. You know, I was just gonna ramble there until Brad hit the
are you wearing a Colorado Rockies hat?
I went to Coors Field, yeah, so I had to get something, and I got the one that's not the like CR logo, so it's a little harder to spot, but it does say Colorado Rockies on the back. But I like the hat. And of course, Annie, it was on sale. Official team store, though. Walking around downtown Denver.
Why are you wearing a Rockies hat?
Well, because the Cardinals suck.
Have you seen the Rockies?
Yes, I did. They beat the Cubs, though. So I was a fan for one night.
Have you seen the Cubs?
Well, I always don't like the Cubs, though. I don't care about the Rockies. Okay. You typing in their record, seeing?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Do you want to come over here and watch what I'm doing instead of doing your segment?
I kind of do. So the news from this weekend, I do have a little bit of travel news just because it was pertinent to me. But the big one
it's
I grabbed.
Birthday. You can do whatever you want.
I can do whatever I want. This is other Trump news, so a little less important than the stuff we've been talking about today. Donald Trump has begun selling spoof versions of Taylor Swift's tour t-shirts and after she endorsed Kamala Harris. The former president's official store launched the Trump-era white t-shirt, a mimic of the merchandise for Swift's Eras tour. Here's the thing, though. The shirt, $36. Good price, bad price. Does it price you out? Do you think that's pretty normal now? $36 for a t-shirt.
That's the question?
That's my question for you.
I don't want the t-shirt. So
you don't
it's
want
too
it?
Much money.
Yeah. See, I kind of do want
if it. If it were free, I would have wrapped it up and given it to you for your birthday.
Well, I appreciate that. But $36, that's right on the line for me for a t-shirt.
For a Trump t-shirt?
For any t-shirt. Any t-shirt. Like, I'll go just like this. I got this merchandise, and it was only $24.
But you bought that hat because of the price?
Kinda, yeah. The other guys that I was with, if you bought enough merch, it was all like a discounted price.
There was nothing else in Colorado that you wanted?
I did get a Coors shirt also. But all these things are kind of like in conflict with St. Louis things. So I felt a little weird about doing it, but I was there.
But not that weird.
Not weird enough to not do it.
I would pay $36 for a t-shirt I wanted.
But you don't want this one.
What and what is it?
It's an Eras shirt. It looks like Taylor Swift, but it's got different versions of Trump on it.
Donald Trump needs to stop talking about Taylor Swift.
I agree. I do like the shirt, though.
I would pay him $36 to stop talking about Taylor Swift.
You think he'd take it?
Oh, he'd take it. He wouldn't stop talking about Taylor Swift, though.
Yeah, that's true. All right, some travel-related news. The FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, says conflicts with unruly passengers are down 80% since their peak during the pandemic.
Is this like the crime stats where they just stop calling physical violence like conflict?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, they don't tell you exactly what it means.
What constitutes conflict?
Right. Yeah, because have you ever seen conflict on a plane? Like, have you seen either an all-out fight some sort of... Have you? Does that count?
My kids are good flyers.
I think if the stewardesses have to get involved.
Not a stewardess.
What are they called now?
I don't know. Sexist pig.
Stewards. If the stewards have to get involved.
Flight attendant.
Flight attendants.
Yeah.
I couldn't come up with it. There it was.
I'm not offended by it.
I'm sure you're not. But have you ever seen an incident involving a flight attendant?
Not like one that you're going to see materialize on the internet. I did fly with the furries, though. That's a real story.
That's a different story. That's not an incident. I don't think that one would get covered.
I suspect that somebody needed to be relocated due to it. But I was in the front of the plane, and they were in the back of the plane. And the people who came in and sat behind us, there was an open seat. And what I overheard was implied that somebody had been had asked to be relocated.
Because the suit was so big?
I overheard and inferred a lot, so I don't have anything more to report. Also, when I get on the plane, the best thing for me is to put my headphones on and listen to any kind of noise. Just get in my zone. It's very close quarters to be with that many strangers at one time.
Nervous flyer?
No. Well, I mean, maybe comparatively speaking, but when you're in a crowded place, like I'm somebody who... By nature, if I see conflict or something, I'm compelled to try to help calm that conflict down or to keep my eyes open so that I know what's going on and what happens. And there's such little that you can do in an airplane that I need to get myself out of it. Not my problem.
You're removing yourself basically from the environment as much as possible.
From the compulsion to like get involved.
Okay.
Because I got no business being involved. Just, Annie, mind your own business, which is what I try to do.
The only incident I've ever seen was right during the pandemic. It was 2021. The guy sitting next to me was apparently a very common flyer. Business guy, flew all over the place. He was just not wearing his mask. And he was eating things about as slowly as you can.
Because you could pull your mask down to eat them.
Yes, exactly. And I thought, he's not doing anything
wrong. People flying with the Cheez-It just suspended in front
of
their
mouth. Just holding it like a cigar.
I'm eating it a little at a time.
But he apparently did this and he flew enough that he was on some sort of unofficial list. And they were watching this guy. I could see them watching this guy the whole time. He wasn't doing anything wrong.
What a nutso time to be alive.
Yes.
Never forget.
It made me so mad at the flight attendants because there were no problems. They created a problem.
Did you cause a conflict?
I didn't do anything. That guy did. And I was kind of like doing the same thing as him just in solidarity. Just because I'm like, look, if you're going to get this guy, I'm doing the same thing. But he was already on their watch list. Anyway. Flight attendant reveals her life-changing hotel hack. And I got to tell you ahead of time, it's not life-changing. But it is a pretty good hack. Flight attendants stay in so many hotels that it can be hard to remember which accommodation is which. So what this one is saying that the New York Post picked up and made into a story is that when you check into your room, when you walk out of your room, how many times has this happened to you? That you have no idea where you're going. You have to kind of refigure out where you are.
Like, do I go left or right?
Which way is the pool? Which way is the elevator? Usually the elevator. How do I get out of this building?
When we go on family vacations, I learn all those things. If I go on a trip with my husband, he learns them. And I willfully have no clue. And I love it. I just follow him.
That's the husband's job, isn't it, Brad?
Not on family vacation.
Well, I do the same thing.
He's usually in charge of other important things, and it's just you got to divide and conquer.
Yeah.
But I just let him, I go where he goes.
So if you are staying in as many hotels as a flight attendant,
yeah,
this is a good tip. I really thought, wow, that's pretty smart. Anytime she takes off her shoes, when she walks into the room, takes off her shoes, she points her shoes in the direction of the elevator.
This is going to save people so much time.
I mean, it's a good idea. I know you're making fun of it, but I'm like, wait a minute, because I always walk out and I go, wait a minute, which direction am I going? Which way am I facing here? But if you have the shoes pointed in the direction you're supposed to walk out, it's going to save you at least a couple seconds. Huge life-saving, life-changing hotel hack.
Where did you get this information
from? New York Post.
Is it one of multiple things in the article?
No, that's it.
The whole article is about putting your shoes in?
And it's 4 pages long.
Man, it's like there's no news happening.
Yeah, I know. But I like that one enough that I'm like, deserves some airtime. All right.
If you travel a lot, that hits home way more than if you go on like 3 trips a year.
I go on 3 trips a year and I'm still like, hey, that's so smart. All right, dust off the telescopes, because this week, it doesn't seem like we're having a lot of like heavenly signs going on. Tuesday's full moon, tomorrow night, full moon, it'll happen at the same time as a partial lunar eclipse, creating a super moon that will be eclipsed. So the spectacle will be visible from, yes, here and South America, Africa and Europe, so pretty much the majority of the Earth outside of Asia. Tomorrow night.
An eclipse?
Full moon. Super moon will also have an eclipse. So it's a lunar eclipse where the Earth is casting its shadow on the moon. But it will be very, very obvious that it's happening because the moon's going to be so big tomorrow night.
Is it going to be clear? It's not going to be big if...
That's a good question.
Checking.
I have to check the weather to see if we'll actually see it from here. But so much of the Earth will be able to see this.
So this
that
is
I thought it would be worth...
Tuesday night into Wednesday.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Now, exactly what time it'll cross... I don't know. It just says tomorrow night. So keep your eye out. If
well, I'm
you
looking
can see
right
it.
Now on my app, and it says from 12 a.m. to sunrise at 6:45 a.m.
Okay.
Fully clear, 0% chance of rain.
Okay. All right. 0% chance of rain means keep your eye on the skies. Tomorrow night, you're going to see, apparently, a pretty easy-to-spot eclipse. And that is my birthday roundup. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you have enjoyed yourself and leave your shoes facing the elevator.
I'd be so switching my husband's shoes. Joe Concha in the next hour. Don't go away.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.